the building. Everybody hands go up. And they stay there. And they say yeah. And they say there.
Won't stop now. Whoa. Keep your hands up, get them in the sky for the homies that ain't making it, my folks locked down. Whoa. I never went nowhere, know what they saying, Luda's back. Yeah. Blame it on that conjure, the hood call it Luda Yak. Yeah. And I'm on this foolish track, so I spit my foolish flow. My hands go up and down, down, like strippers' booties go. Whoa. My verses still be serving, yeah, tight like a million virgins. Yeah. Last time on a college remix, now I'm on the original version. Yeah. Can't never count me out, no, y'all better count me in. No. Got 20 bank accounts, accountants count me in. Make millions every year, yeah, but South champion, yeah. Cause all I do, all I do
is win, win, hey, win, no matter what. Whoa. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up. And they stay there, yeah, and they say yeah, and they say there.
Head on a swivel, you know serving me's a no-no. Clean as a whistle as I pull out in my Rolls Royce. Yellow phone passenger, they see it, they say, oh boy. Shell Kelly, back it up, my niggas call me loco. Down for armed traffic, and don't make me pull that fofo. Ask you what you laughing at, represent that mud life. Dirty money, bitch, you better get your mud right. We come together, holding hands and holler, mud life. We all strapping all black, it's like mud life.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up. And they stay there.
Kitchen, pot on the stove, water getting boiled, dope being sold, Snoopy in the hookie, system overload. I've been running this rap game since I was 20 years old. I hung with the worst of them, bust till I burst them up, floss them up, toss them up, harder way, cross them up. Pardon me, I'm bossing up, pressure up, bless you, bro, don't mess with us. We like the U in the 80s. Back to back, set a track. Hit the lick, get it back. Get the trick, jump the track. Bitch, I want my money back. Time and time again, while I'm sipping on this gin. Al Davis said it best, just win, baby, win.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up. And they stay there.
All right. Hey, what's going on out there? How y'all doing today? Welcome to the show. The Talk with Mr. Talk. How y'all doing today? I got to get used to that. I changed the name. Yeah, I did. But anyway, how y'all doing out there today? Hope everybody's having a great, great day. And your week has been pretty good also. All right, man, we got a good show for you today. I mean, we got some stuff that needs to be talked about today on the show. And that's what we're going to do. But before we do, we're going to go and tell you how you can be a part of the show. You want to talk to me, Mr. Talk? No problem. The easiest way to do it, man, is just call me at 347-838-8622. Once again, 347-838-8622. You can email me at ericletts, L-E-T-S, talk at gmail.com. That's ericletstalk@gmail.com. And our chat room is open at www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk.
Oh, yes.
And, yeah, those are all the ways you can participate and you can talk to me. All right. Now, that's before, during the show, except for you try and call the show when I'm gone. I'm not on the air. No, I'm not going to answer that number. But anyway, if you have any other ways of contacting me, feel free. You know, if you have any ideas, any thoughts, any comments, hey, let's get it going. I want to say welcome to Sarge up in the chat room. What's going on, old man? I don't know what you're up to, but it's good to have you in the place with me. All right, so. Co-host P. Ross, she'll be along here shortly, maybe. But until then, y'all have me, Mr. Talk, on the mic for you today. And y'all know me, I get kind of long-winded sometimes. So don't blame me. Don't blame me. So go on. What we going to do? This is what we're going to do. We're going to play one more song here real quick. Make sure this computer is running like it's supposed to. Then we come back. We're going to hit the topics, man. We're going to start off talking about Brittany Griner. I have a lot to say about that right now. But give me about 3 minutes and we'll be right back.
Maybe I'm blind, thinking I can see through this and see what's behind. Got no way to prove it, so maybe I'm lying. But I'm only human after all. I'm only human after all. Don't put your blame on me. Don't put your blame on me. Take a look in the mirror, and what do you see? Do you see it clearer? Are you deceived in what you believe? 'Cause I'm only human after all, and you're only human after all. Don't put the blame on me. Don't put your blame on me. My opinion, don't ask me to lie and beg for forgiveness for making you cry, for making you cry. 'Cause I'm only human after all. I'm only human after all. Don't put your blame on me. Don't put the blame on me. Human, I made the
after all, I'm only human after all. Don't put the blame on me. Don't put the blame on me. I'm only human, do what I can. I'm just a man, I do what I can. Don't put the blame on me. Don't put your blame on me.
All right, we're back. Welcome to the show. One of my favorite songs, man. I tell you, one of my favorite songs. That song always gets me going. The words are powerful. The words are powerful. Anyway, welcome back to the Talk with Mr. Talk. And y'all know who I am. I'm Mr. Talk. Woo-hoo! All right. Co-host P. Ross will be along in a little bit, hopefully. But until then, you got me. Oh, you got me. I don't know. I'm in a singing mood today. Anyway, as I mentioned before, we got a great show for you. We're going to talk a little bit about Brittany Griner, the six-year-old boy, first grader that shot his teacher. And then we're going to backtrack a little bit to the 10-year-old down in Florida that was charged with groping the mental health teacher. Yeah. Just to keep you up to date on that one. And then, of course, we got a few other things here. And, of course, before we get out of here, we got to talk about that Martin Luther King. You know what? Let's start off with that. That Martin Luther King dang old statue down in Boston, up in Boston, down in Boston, across in Boston, however you want to say it. I have no idea that artist was thinking. I really don't. Now, I understand what he said is supposed to represent. All right. I understand that part of it. But the way it came out, heck no. Now, I'm not perverted. You know, I don't think initially in sexual innuendos or thoughts or anything like that. But the first thing I thought about when I saw that was a booty and somebody holding that booty up. I'm going to tell y'all like I saw it. And some of y'all may get upset with me, but that's the way it looked to me. When I first saw it, you know, because they always show the picture before they explain anything. So I'm sitting here looking at it on my computer like, what the heck is that? How is that supposed to represent Martin Luther King Jr.? Then it said, and his wife, Coretta Scott King. How in the heck? What in the world? Is that a booty? That's a hand reaching around the booty? Is that an arm grabbing the underneath of the leg? What the heck is that? So it's supposed to be representing Martin Luther King Jr. Now, if you'd have put a face on it or something, but just to have that statue sitting there like that, man, who is that really representing? The freaky people in the world? That's what I think is representing. Cause man, and there is no way he could have gotten that out of there. He got Martin Luther King Jr. out of that. I don't know what picture they gave him. I have no idea. But yeah, I don't think it was that. I really don't. You know, and it's strange. You know, it really is. Because you see, then you see some beads. So you say, okay, that's a woman. Then you see a wet ring from this one angle I'm looking at right now. But that's all you see. And you see the hand with the ring under look like a cheek or a thigh. The other hand wrapped around look like a leg or a thigh. And then you see, I'm sorry, I'm not perverted, but God dang. And Sar says, actually, it looks like something holding a big brown turd. And that's true too, Sarge. I thought about that too. I really do. And you know, it's you. Just look at the thing. You're like, man, what was he thinking? And he had the nerve. This guy name is, what's this dude's name? Hank Willis Thomas. That's the artist's name. Hank Willis Thomas. Okay. And, yeah, it was some things. He titled the thing The Embrace, which is supposed to feature two pairs of disembodied, well, which does feature two pairs of disembodied arms that appear to hold each other. All right, I don't know what they're holding, but it don't look, well, they're holding each other, all right, but not the way I don't think he's made it sound in here. The piece is, now listen to this. The piece is based on a 1964 photograph of King hugging his wife after he received a Nobel Peace Prize. Well, that must have been after the after party then, when, you know, they had all that champagne and stuff in them, and, you know, they got the little freak on, I guess. Maybe that's what he was thinking, because I don't see anything that says Nobel Peace Prize right here. I see a lot of hugging, but not a Nobel Peace Prize. You see what I'm saying, y'all? And I'm not trying to be, as they say, crass, you know, or demented or perverted, anything like that. But that's fact. That is fact. You walk up on that thing right there with no plaque explaining to you what this statue is, you wouldn't have any ideas to represent somebody winning a Nobel Peace Prize. From look, I don't care what angle you look at it, you won't be able to get come to that conclusion. It's horrendous. And they're just, they're playing it up like it's the greatest thing since chicken noodle soup. Oh. Now, all the other statues and things you see, you know, they're figurative. They have heads on it. You can tell who it is. You can tell what they're doing, what have you. But not with this. Not with this. He went on to display that the embrace makes it notably difficult to ascertain which hands belong to which arms. Duh. Duh. So you did this purposely here, right? Okay. Yeah. Now he went on to say it also noticeable that the fact that it honors Coretta King alongside Martin Luther King Jr., to whom she was married from 1953 until 1968. That's when he died, y'all, okay? Yeah. Yeah, he got that part right. He did. He definitely had that part right. Oh, so I had to get that in, y'all. That originally was scheduled for the end of the show, but I couldn't hold that in right there. I had to get that out. I mean, really, The Embrace. Yeah, that's a good name, The Embrace. But the question is, what the heck is it embracing? Huh? What is it embracing? Booty, turds, I have no idea, and you probably didn't either. Sorry says, is the artist a secret cop profile or gay into phallic? Maybe he just sculptured a big middle finger at American values and traditional normalcy. Now, as funny as that sounds, Sarge, that last little bit right there about the American values and traditional normalcy, yeah. That may be a good point there. That's a dang on good point. Yeah. I guess it's, as they say, the eyes of the beholder. How you feeling when you look up and see that thing? And in addition, Coretta Scott King wasn't that dark. She wasn't a dark woman. Martin was, but she wasn't. Oh, but he couldn't have done that either, because then somebody had been upset because it looked like a white woman hugging or something black. Yeah, I don't see that happening either. Oh, man. Hey, Hank, next time, man, put a face on it, okay? Put a face or something on it so we can know what's going on. Because that right there, what you did, unveil at all places, Boston, Massachusetts, no, dog, that's not it. That is definitely not it. Now that I have that piece of nonsense out of the way, let's get to talking about something else, some more nonsense. You know, because, oh, Speaking of nonsense, let me go on and put this PSA out there right now. If you're expecting anything from Congress, these next 2 years, go on and cancel it, okay? Because nothing is going to happen. You heard it here. Nothing is going to happen. Besides a bunch of revenge investigations, trying to cover your tracks, that's all that's going to go on. That's it. So don't expect anything major out of Congress. Besides a bunch of bickering back and forth and finger pointing. I mean, it's already started. Anybody else curious at how soon as the Republicans took over the House, all of a sudden all these documents started showing up? They're buying houses now and the homes and businesses of the president. Anybody else think that, like, that's weird? And the other strange thing about it is the first set was discovered in November. Now, listen to what I'm saying. November, supposedly. But the American public was not made aware of it until January. Why is that? Why? Woo! Now, a lot of Republicans saying, well, they should treat him just like they treat Trump. And I find some validity in that. I do. But I also say it depends on how accommodating the president's staff is about finding these paperwork. Now, if they're going to do like you know, who did, and just fight it and argue and what have you and want to pick and choose, then, yeah, send the FBI in, raid it. Let's get down to the bottom of it, which the American public would never know the gist of it anyway. Let's be honest. Because it's not meant for us to know. What they have going on right now is an inside fight. Y'all don't know it, but it's an inside fight going on right now. You see, who can get the best of who? I mean, it's not nothing new. However, it's normally not ramped up like it is right now. And this all is a fight to see who's going to have supremacy come 2024 when the presidential elections come around. Yeah. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Them two old white men that ran here the last time, both of them need to go away. Both of them need to go away. All right. I'm just going to say that's my opinion. You know, I don't prescribe to either political affiliation or anything like that, or any political affiliation. I really don't. Because they're all full of crap. Yep, I said it. Y'all know I usually don't cuss on my show. But, yep, I said it. They full of crap. And the more I look at it and research and read, oh, man, it just begins to stink. But, yeah, they should investigate just like they investigated Trumpy. Before they raided his joint. And if the Biden administration acts the same way his group of people did, well, then, yeah, raid him too. Raid them all. You know. Sarge says the statute on mishandling classified information is heedless of intent or inadvertence. It only requires recklessness or negligence. Yeah, sure it does. But in whose eyes? See, that's what you have to think about, Sarge. In whose eyes is it going to be considered reckless or negligence? You know, there are always ways to get around the way a law is written. Hence, what Trump was trying to do. Yeah, well, I mean, really, it's one of those things where you like, okay, all right, yeah, whatever. We're down to tit for tat right now. And if we're honest, think about if you were in the White House and you were getting ready to leave, you probably take some things you're not supposed to either, if just for a keepsake. I mean, let's be honest. So, you know, this big stink they making about it, okay, all right. But what is it? What is the contents of these so-called classified documents? And why, if they are humanly that classified or top secret, why isn't somebody watching over them when this stuff is being packed? That makes a little sense, doesn't it? So the system isn't set up. The system isn't set up for them to be caught, okay? And in order for them to be caught, there's a lot of snitching going on. That's why you can't trust them, man. You can't trust a politician. You barely can trust you with who a person you call your best friend. No loyalty. No loyalty whatsoever. Let's look at it this another way. Do you really think if they were to go back and research all the previous presidents' residences and business and warehouses, they wouldn't find any classified documents there? Are these the only two idiots that decided to take something from the White House they weren't supposed to? No. If you believe so, man, I got some land over on the sun I can sell you. Because that's the extent of how really irrelevant this mess is right now. Of course, these are my opinions of the way my logical mind thinks sometimes. But it's just that simple. If you do not want people taking classified documents from the White House, then when their staff is packing that stuff up, you put a guard or an agent or somebody there to make sure that is not what they are taking. Too easy. Too easy. But apparently it's not for the top levels of our government. And they've gone even so far to say, well, now what we want to do, we want a log of everybody that visit the places where these classified documents were stored, were kept. For Biden now. They're talking about for Biden. Okay. Let's do that for Trump, too, at Mar-a-Lago. You know, and that's the crazy part. You know, they talk about working together and being just and open and honest or whatever. Oh, nowhere. Nowhere. It's just not happening. There's no honesty nowhere. This isn't something new, people. That's what I'm trying to tell you. This ain't something new. It's old. They've been doing it for years. But now they need it as backup, and that's why we're having this little battle. That's why we're having this battle. But we shall see. We shall see. McCarthy took him umpteen times to get elected Speaker of the House, and first thing he want to do is defund the IRS. What the heck? Defund, take money from the IRS, get, you know, that was set aside for 187,000 workers that was supposed to investigate all those other people that weren't paying their share of taxes. A lot of them were investigators. And they're going to take money from there. Say, nope, it ain't happening. We're not doing it. Now, for low-level income individuals like you and me, either way, we know if we make one mark wrong on our tax form, they're coming after us. But that high echelon of folk, yeah, whatever. Nothing is said about them doing anything wrong until, you know, they get do something really catastrophic and get caught and they can't get out of it. Then everything has to come out. Anyway. It's just the way it is, man. It's just the way it is. And for these next 2 years, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. It might as well say 2 years. We still in January. Yeah, it's just going to be funny and pathetic at the same time. It really is. It's going to be funny. Grown people up here, and y'all so worried. Oh, Lord. Anyway, so I just thought I'd throw that out there. Yeah, I'll throw that out there. So let's get to this thing here about Brittany Griner. Yeah, before we talk about Brittany, how many of y'all aware that last Thursday there was a Navy veteran that was released from a Russian jail? His name is Taylor Dudley, 35-year-old. And, yeah. Apparently, he traveled to Poland for a music festival, but somehow crossed the Russian border and was arrested. Yeah. I mean, he was on the hill for 9 months. But the interesting part is nobody was traded for him. No one whatsoever. And it was done so quietly, I don't think a lot of people realize it even happened. And that just goes back to make you wonder a little bit, huh, about the Brittany Griner situation. Why? Now, a lot of the families are getting upset at Brittany because they say she should be working hard or trying to get those that's over there released. Let's be honest, y'all. Brittany Griner ain't got no juice in that kind of situation. Hey, you forget, she was a prisoner herself. I mean, what juice do you think she would hold to get somebody released? Heck, she probably went back over there and probably arrest her again. Just because. So stop with all that nonsense about she should be helping. What is she going to help? Hell, she got to deal with some stuff of her own. Yes, some stuff of her own. Mentally, physically. This period. So stop expecting that girl Stop expecting that girl to, you know, be super prison release woman now. Because it's not going to happen. She has nothing those countries want. Nothing. And I'm sorry for the families that have people detained. I am. And I wish it never happened. I do. However, they got caught. Now, whether they're legally or illegally, it doesn't matter. They got caught. Now, bringing us to that part, the Brittany Griner story I want to talk about. Now, within the last week and a half, Brittany Griner was given the Arizonian of the Year Award. Okay. It says, you know, State of Arizona of the Year, Citizen of the Year Award. Okay. And I really laughed when I heard that. I laughed. And you're going to laugh too. Now, that award was given, you know, to the best one. And a lot of individuals were upset because it was given to them to Pat Tillman. And for those that don't know who Pat Tillman was, he was a professional football player in the NFL, and he turned down a very lucrative contract to go to war and be a Green Beret. I think it was Green Beret. Yeah. One of them elite groups. But anyway, while he was over there, he was killed in action. There's still some controversy of whether it was actually by enemy fire or friendly fire, but that's for a whole nother time. So people are saying, how can you give it to him, then turn around and give it to her? And you know what? I'm tending to side with those that say, how can she get that award? How? You broke the law. There's no if, ands, or but about it. She broke the law. That's why she was arrested. Now, I can say, well, maybe there are some circumstances behind that, you know, enhanced her chances of being arrested during that time, because it's no secret she'd been playing in Russia for 3-4 years already. And I'm sure that's not the first time she brought those cartridges into the country. However, this time they stopped her. Army Ranger. Tillman was an Army Ranger, y'all. Okay. Okay, Sarge, thank you. And Sarge said his death was proven to have been as a result of friendly fire. Okay. Now, back to Brittany. That makes it even worse, doesn't it? Now, back to Brittany. Brittany broke the law. She knew she couldn't bring that stuff over there. Now, she may have been sliding by, as I said before, and this time with Russia getting ready to go to war with Ukraine, we needed something. Who coming over here got a little high-profile activity to them? Yeah, I say high-profile activity. How many of them got that? Oh, here she comes right now. Dun-dun-dun-dun. Yeah. So, she broke the law. So the state of Arizona gave Citizen of the Year award to someone who broke the law and was detained in another country because you broke that country's laws. Now, I don't think she should have got that award. I don't. But, you know, I didn't do the vote, and we all know sometimes people think with their feelings and not their minds, which is scary in itself to think. But, yeah, she shouldn't have got that award. I'm agreeing with everybody else. Now, I know some of you out there saying, yes, she could because she was a prisoner. Well, hell, you see a whole lot of prisoners in the United States come out. They don't get no Citizen of the State award. Tyler Dudley. I'm sure he's not going to get one for whatever he did. Now, here's the other interesting thing that is really – how can I say it? Getting under my saddle. Some people say I sound crazy. I'm going to say, here's something else that's really getting under my saddle that's really driving me nuts. So stop. You know, people, you know, today it's scary because people are really afraid of words. They have to really, they in their labels. Y'all know how I feel about labels. Labels suck. I don't think we let people label us and we label ourselves, and we shouldn't. But anyway, the Louisiana legislature condemned the release of Brittany Griner instead of Paul Whelan. Okay. Now, we talked about both of these individuals before. The administration said, well, they tried. Russia was like, no. We can only take what they say for now until we find some more information. But that's the thing about it. But the Louisiana legislature. Man, these folks, during a quarterly meeting, the GOP committee, and see, there you go, the GOP committee. The GOP committee. That's all I'm going to say on that. Yeah, I just told y'all about them labels. Supported a resolution condemning this change. You know, and nobody, no member, basically objected once a reference was removed mentioning Griner as a woke gay woman was removed from the statement. Okay? Let's see, what else was it? This phrase that was removed was LGBT woke. LGBT woke. Y'all know I said the alphabet people. You know, but that keyword right there is woke. Oh, you know. What's up with that word woke? Why is there such a problem with the word woke? You wake up every day. You walk around woke, hopefully. Awake or whatever. But anyway, I'm not going there. Anyway. Yeah. It seems like anytime these people are mentioning this girl, that's one of the first things they bring up. She's a part of LGBT. She supported Black Lives Matter. She's a black gay woman. She plays in the WNBA that supports abortion or whatever. Why, y'all? Why? Be happy the girl is out from under there. That's what you should be happy for. But you idiots out there are wanting to pick sides. Like I said before, it's not like she had any juice. She had a lot of strong organizations behind her. And she never, they never let the issue remain out of the media. Now, you can give her team that part because they worked hard. But the bottom line was it wasn't nothing she did. It wasn't. Besides get caught and go to prison in Russia. That was her contribution. That was her contribution. But ain't nobody want to worry about that. Only thing you worry about is she's gay and she's black and she's whatever. Who cares? Who cares? Paul Whelan is a white, can't even say former Marines because he was dishonorably discharged. They don't like to say they're Marines once they be dishonorably discharged. You know, that was arrested and detained for something totally different. And he has a history of doing, but you don't want to look at all that. You just want to listen to the rah-rah that's going on about it. You know, that is the crazy part. That really is. Stop worrying about that. Should she have gotten the award? Heck no. No, she shouldn't have got that award. Did she break the law? Heck yes. Was she released? Yeah, she was. For that other guy, the bomber guy. So, yeah, she was. But what then? You know what I mean? What I mean, really. If that other country don't want to give you up, you're not leaving. You should know that already. Hey, that's like being arrested in another county on an arrest warrant. If they, you know, and you got other charges somewhere else, if they say nope, you're not leaving until we deal with you. You're not going anywhere. It's the same thing with the countries. Stop worrying about that. Oh, my gosh. Sarge, I don't know about all that, man. Sarge says, woke crystallizes all of the worst tendencies of the Eviro lunatic, gender-muddled, obligaric, authoritarian, fascist, globalist, race, and identity-obsessed mania left. That's a whole lot of labels and name-calling there, Sarge, in a very polite, intelligent way. And that proves my point. What that has to do with the left or the right? You saying there's no woke individuals on the right? And if you believe that, man, you really, you living out in center field somewhere. And what the heck is this left or right? What is that? More nonsense so you can fall in and be conditioned and propagandized to believe whatever that side is that you, hey, I don't care. I'm not on the left. I'm not on the right. I think all y'all are idiots. And the most of you anyway. These are some pretty decent people, but a lot of them are idiots on both sides. Because you're too darn gone stubborn to realize that basically y'all saying the same thing. Y'all just trying to achieve it in different ways. Dang! But you're so hard-headed and confrontational, you won't stop long enough to think about it and then realize that's what's happening. But that's the world of politics, isn't it? That's the way the world goes. Yeah. But anyway, you know, they didn't have any written record of this condemnation. So that's they're not the first group to do that. And as I said before, I'm not standing up and saying, well, she was innocent, blah, blah. No, I'm not saying that because, yes, she broke the law. Yes, she did. Yes, of another country. And don't you expect the United States to do that if somebody overseas came over here breaking the law to arrest them and put them under too? So why wouldn't you expect it to happen in other countries? Now, unwillfully detained or something like that, where she wasn't detained properly, they knew that was a lie from the get-go. And I'm really surprised Russia did not keep her longer because she broke the dang on law. She did. She broke the law. A major arms dealer with international contacts that can aid Russia and Putin for a cannabis-intoxicated athlete. And there's nothing wrong with cannabis, Sarge. The white people in the government told you there was something wrong with cannabis. Well, there ain't nothing wrong with cannabis. It's a plant that grows, man. You ain't never heard nobody overdoing from smoking weed, have you? Nope. Not at all. But they want you to believe it's bad. But you know what? It's all right. And like I said before, do y'all really think the United States is going to release this guy without having some kind of way to track him and find out what he's doing? Do y'all, I mean, those that really believe in your government, do you think your government is that dumb? You know, and the media, they just blow it up, depending on what side you're on. Oh, it was a horrible trade. Maybe it was, and maybe it wasn't. And Sarge, I follow the WNBA religiously, so yeah. Sarge said it was a lousy diplomatic trade. The U.S. got played. Yeah. See, for someone, Sarge, and I'm not insulting you or anything, but we done had our conversations. And as American as you are, as rah-rah as you are, law-abiding as you are, do you really believe they let that guy go without having some way to track him? Do you really believe that? And much noise people make about tracking the United States citizen being tracked, do you really think they're going to let this guy go without having a way to track him? Sit down and really think about that. So the statement the USA got played, did they? Question mark. Did they? You better think about it. You better think about it, because I don't believe so. I don't believe so. Now, this is just me thinking the way I think, okay? I believe that they saw it as an opportunity to gather more information. And they say, well, yeah, now is the time. So I say he doesn't have to be tracked. Putin will probably give him a secure office in the Kremlin. Yeah, no, that ain't happened. He didn't give him no secure office. Secure office? Really? What's secured? Ain't nothing. Anyway, but yeah. So, y'all leave Brittany alone. All right? Brittany, she was used as a pawn by both countries, by both leaders, both State Departments. You know, she just was used just like he was. So, let her get on with it, get on. You know, it's, in the big scheme of things, yeah. Now, here's the other thing. Sarge says all he has to do is to make phone calls to his contacts. Thank you, Sarge, for helping me out right there. Exactly. That's all he got to do, make phone calls to his contacts. Isn't that quite easy? Whether you're in a secure office or not. That's all I'm saying, Sarge. Thank you for helping me make my point there. All right, let's get to this six-year-old, man. I want to talk about this six-year-old little boy. First grader that shot his teacher. And the authorities are saying that it was not unintentional. In other words, he meant to do it. He meant to do it. Yeah. Oh man. Hold up, y'all. I got to take a short break, and then I'll be right back. All right? And we're going to talk about this six-year-old boy. So get up, go and get you more drink, and use the facilities, whatever you got to do, and we'll be back here in about 3 minutes. All right? See you in a minute.
Believe that there will be a brighter day. Ooh, situations tend to weigh us down, and it's easy to let them steal your joy away. It's always when you are the closest to almost getting through change. Locked and can't be open. The doubts of dreams ever coming true can discourage you, but you need to see that. Can't go on.
All right, y'all, I'm back now. Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. Hey, we apologize for those issues we're having today with the computer, but we're working our way through it. All right. So, as we were talking earlier, so y'all lay off grind, all right? Ain't too much she could do. She was used as a pawn by both countries. And I do personally believe that United States didn't release this guy without a plan, okay? A plan. Trust me on that one. So let's move on here. Let's talk about that six-year-old boy that shot his teacher down in Norfolk, Virginia, at Rich Nick Elementary School. Yeah. Now, I've seen the name of this school kind of like in just spelled two different ways. So I'm going to go with the Rich Nick, okay? Because I saw it spelled Rich Nick on one article. I'm like, maybe that was a typo or something. But, yeah, for the most of them articles I've read and looked at, it says Rich Nick, N-I-C-K, elementary. All right, so anyway, just had to get some clarity on that. The little boy shot his teacher. Apparently he brought a 9mm Taurus pistol to school in his backpack, and while the teacher was giving instructions, he pulled it out and shot her point blank, blah blah. She was shot in the hand and thigh and stomach or something like that, but anyway, he shot her. And reports came out that are coming out that he did it intentionally. Okay, all right, so automatically we think, okay, this child got some issues going on here. He's got some issues. Something is wrong. But as always, as I start digging and reading and, you know, some things just don't make sense, y'all. It really doesn't. And from the reports and research I did from last week all the way up to the show, there's some other things that's been added that really throw some questions on this whole situation now. It really does. Now, I'm going to say, the teacher, before she, you know, failed and fainted from her injuries, she made sure all the children went out of the class and were safe. And so we applaud her for that. We really do. Okay? So y'all give y'all something to cheer about. I know some of y'all say, Mr. Talk, you didn't say nothing about her being a... Okay, I said it. They called her a hero for making sure all the kids were safe before she sought help for herself. Whoop, whoop, whoop. All right. Y'all hear the sirens going off, right? I don't have my sound effects anymore. Maybe I'll get those put back in. But anyway, now, last week when this story came out, it said the school only had one metal detector, and it was in the library. And also said that they randomly checked the students. Now, they randomly checked the students, and that this child was not checked that day. Now, that's what the report said last week. This week, there's an administrator that has come out supposedly and said it was known the boy may have had a weapon in his possession, but no weapon was found upon searching his backpack. Now, we're talking about a six-year-old backpack. Come on, y'all. Work with me now. Six-year-olds do not carry that much in their backpack. Come on, first grader. And whoever supposedly searched this backpack sure did a shoddy job. So how you going to search a backpack and don't find a weapon in it that you claim the little boy pulled out, that they claim the little boy pulled out the backpack? So what kind of search did you do and put it back and let him go on by his way? Now, they won't name the administrator or what their job was in the school. But they won't even say any of that. But you said, administrator says they checked his backpack and no weapon was found. In that case, then, where did he get the weapon from? That's a big question right there. If it wasn't in his backpack, where did he get it from? You telling me this 6-year-old young boy was smart enough to hide this weapon somewhere where he knew he wouldn't be, after he got checked, he would go and pick the weapon up and put it back in his backpack? That's what you want me to believe about a 6-year-old, his mental capacity and understanding to do that. Also, new information came out this week that said it is still not clear how the school learned about the weapon. What in the world? First, you search the weapon, then search the backpack for a weapon, but you can't tell us how you found out he may have had a weapon. Or how this so-called administrator missed finding the weapon in his backpack. That's just not adding up. And the shooting apparently took place 2.5 the searching of the backpack. The search of the backpack. 2.5 hours. So where did this child go within that 2.5 hour period, the way he wasn't supervised by a teacher, to where he can actually take a backpack, find his weapon, and bring it back to the classroom? That's what you want me to believe. just saying it out loud like that just made me laugh. Either there is some real serious incompetence at this school, or somebody is telling a lie trying to cover their behinds. Because that storyline right there doesn't add up at all. And the biggest and best thing is, where did this boy get this weapon from? How? How did he get this weapon? We still haven't been told that part either. Where and how did he get this weapon? Was it secured in the house? Said his mother bought the weapon legally. Still no answer on that part either. Yeah, the mom, because they keep saying the mom, and I haven't heard them say anything about a father yet, but yeah, the mom could face some charges if it's found that she did not store the weapon properly. Yeah. But where? Where did this boy hide this weapon at, supposedly? Now, one story said the teacher was reportedly attempting to confiscate the gun from the child when she was shot. One said she had her hands up. There's just too much going on in this story right now. Oh, yeah, and then the school came out and also said now that they're going to add more metal detectors. So why did you have the dang old first one in the library anyway? Right? Why? I'm just saying. The way I look at things, y'all, I'm sorry. It just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. One parent said that the shooting was the failure of multiple security measures, including metal detectors, of which he says the school has just one in the library, but students are checked randomly. Now, that's what, help me out, y'all, because this is just backwards as heck. Who checked it? How did you check it? Did you just stick your hand in it? Did you pull all the contents out on the table? How did you check it? Did you run it through an X-ray machine? Did you make him go through the metal detector? How did you check this bag and miss this weapon? In a sixth grader's backpack. And then after everything was over, they found the weapon and a cell phone laying by the backpack. A weapon and the weapon and a cell phone laying by the backpack. This something about this whole thing just doesn't sound right to me. I'm sorry. Now, I'm not a traditional conspiracy individual. I'm not. But when it doesn't add up, it just don't add up. It doesn't. And maybe I'm out there on this one, but yeah, no. No. You know, and I see you, PNK. I'll get you to you in a minute. And, you know, that takes me down to a story I talked about, I think a couple of weeks ago, about the 10-year-old down in Florida that's facing charges for groping, listen to this, for groping a mental health school person, teacher, whatever they do. The school's health mental health person, put it that way. Now, this is the adult says that they were coming in from recess and the little boy saw her and ran toward her, and she turned sideways because she see he was going to hug her. Number one, you turning sideways because you see the little black boy going to hug you. But anyway, and then, dun, 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 you decide you're going to turn to your side, and he hugged you. You say he put one hand around your waist and the other hand around your shoulder, and he cupped her breast before she pushed him off. Now, that's what the lady said, okay? That's what the lady said. But once again, I don't know, this story ain't adding up because there were only two people there. Duh, they were only two people there, him and her. Him and her. Yeah. That is just unbelievable, man. It really is. Now this 10-year-old boy, yeah, they suspended him. Okay, the lady he hugged was the district mental health counselor at Holly Hill School, whom she accused of groping her. Yeah. Really? A 10-year-old. Now, I'm not saying 10-year-old boys are are squeaky clean. We know they aren't. We know they aren't. Oh, yeah, and she also added that, you know, when he was walked away, he smiled and winked. I don't know what kind of show this woman been watching, but really, he smiled at you and winked, huh? Yeah. And because of this, okay, here's what the counsel said. She turned sideways to give a side hug. The student put his left arm around her shoulder, and then with his right hand, he reached and grabbed her left breast, in which she had to grab his wrist and remove his hand. The explanation states that the student proceeded to smirk and walk away and later began yelling and kicking things and stormed off when his primary teacher called him to ask about the event. Now, this is the district, okay, the district mental health counselor. You know, it isn't that scary. Woo! The employees filed suits, you know, about the incident, which was reported as simple battery, and it happened at 11:30 a.m. to noon. The report states the counsel saw the student running toward her and turned her body, blah, 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 blah. We done said that already. Okay, the report also notes that the primary teacher in the classroom did not witness the incident but tried to talk to the student about it afterwards. Yeah. And, of course, the report says there were no witnesses, so it's his word against hers. His word against hers. Who you think they're going to believe? Because she's the district mental counselor. Oh, and why you just turning to get a little boy a side hug anyway? No, well, anyway. So, basically, that is on, it's basically on standstill right now because the family has actually filed suit against the school board. Yeah, the family attorney. Let's see. The pre-suit notice states that the 10-year-old, okay, was unlawfully and wrongfully suspended for 10 days without due process and in violation of Volusia's own policies. And that's Volusia County, y'all, down in Florida, okay? Wrongfully subjected to law enforcement interrogation and charged for criminal battery, public humiliation, accused of a crime of a serious nature, and put into the criminal justice system forever. Also accuses the school district of continuously denying the family for having legal representation at meetings and trying to extract statements, evidence, and testimony from this child and his family to misuse in its appeal decision and pending litigation. The lawyer said they plan to file a lawsuit in federal court, but since it will include state claims, Florida requires the pre-suit notice followed by a six-month waiting period before filing. She says that the lawsuit would address violation of the boy's due process rights and equal protection under the 14th Amendment, as well as potential Civil Rights Act violations. In the meantime, Williams, which is the attorney, says they will be filing complaints against the school district with the Office of Civil Rights, in addition to complaints against involved administrators and educators of the U.S. Department of Education. Yeah. So that's where that sits at right now. And I just wanted to keep y'all abreast of what's happening with it. I'll be following it. I will. And I'll let y'all know what happened. With both cases. Actually, both cases. Because I want to see what's going to go on. You have a 6-year-old and a 10-year-old. Okay? One accused of shooting his teacher. The other one accused of groping his a teacher, a counselor. Let's see how this is going to turn out, y'all. I know my inquiring mind wants to know. Yes, it does. Because I want to know what's going on. Y'all would say, man, make sure you're talking to your children and making them aware of situations. I mean, they may not think it's one thing, but that don't mean the other person does. You know, and it's scary that we are at that point, especially when it comes to adults and children now. Really? But we shall see. All right. Anyway, before I move on, I talked about a lot here in the last 30 minutes. So let me bring P. Yankee in. Lord, help us all and see what he has to say. All right, P. Yankee. I hope you're there. Once this thing quits spinning. All right. We're going to try it again. All right. Are you there, P. Yankee?
Yeah, how you doing, Eric? Happy New Year, man.
Well, same to you. Yep, I'm here.
Yeah, I see you got your photograph on the side. I never knew you looked like that.
That's making me very uncomfortable, Pianki.
Oh, no. I mean, it's the truth. I've never seen you real.
Okay.
Well, you know, you shouldn't have put your picture up there. You know what you're opening yourself up for.
No.
Hey, look. No, I didn't listen. I'm just drop by to say Happy New Year to you. But on this particular story, actually these two last stories with the gun and this hugging, that kid done nothing wrong. It's just the way this woman is perceiving things. He didn't do anything wrong. And I don't know what to tell you, man. Things just all jacked up nowadays. And I'm glad to see the attorney go the route that they're going, because the child was not afforded his 14th Amendment procedure due process right. And they should. They should press charges. But, man, there's some strange things going on out here in society today because of these new cultures and so forth, and a lack of proper education at the 10-year-old and before age, and thus you have what you have. But I don't want to take up much of your time. I just want to make sure you were safe.
Let's talk about that, because you just said something there. What type of precautions would you have to take from 6 to 10 years old? What type of precautions are you talking about?
Education. It's the education and how you bring that child, introduce that child to circumstances at his age in the world. You're supposed to perfect some respect for authority, which you don't see in the schools. It's supposed to start off in the home. If you don't have respect for authority in the home, when you go to school, you don't have respect for authority. Then when you get out into the public and have interactions, like interactions with the police, you don't have show respect for authority. Then it develops into other things, which is exploited.
So you telling the child, don't hug anybody that's not family, basically.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. My grandson, and I'm not going to be too explicit, when he used to go to dancing performances with his group, he always had some adults wanting to pick him up. So, oh, he's so cute. And I had to get on one for doing that. I said, you don't be picking up other people's kids and hugging them like that. You know what I'm saying?
I can understand that logic. When you explain it like that,
you're not supposed to. You're supposed to tell your kids, don't be letting people be hugging on you. You tell them no, because it might be a Joe Biden. You know how he is. Has been said to be.
Well, I said about a lot of them. But yeah, I understand your point. You're right. You're right there. Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah,
but so if you don't train your kids right. For instance, let me tell you something. One thing you're supposed to teach your children, amongst many things, young ones, if they're walking down the street and they look behind them and it's a stranger following them, then they're supposed to run. If they're far from home, they should run to a house and knock on the door or go into a store and call somebody. That's what I was taught. That's what I taught my kids to do. And I'm sure that you would agree that there is a good practice, a good lesson plan for your child.
That is
true. They're not going to be standing there fighting an adult. And there has been cases where people have pulled up, and this is one case happened in Detroit of recent, in a van, and this is a white lady, and these black kids was walking along, and somewhere or another she got them to get in the van. So she made the mistake of doing a traffic violation, causing her to be pulled over by the police. And the police asked her, is these your kids? And at the same time, he was looking at the kids. The kids shook their head no. So that raised a suspicion, and which led to her arrest for kidnapping. Well, the kids shouldn't have got in the damn truck in the beginning. It was more of them than it was her. And those are things you're supposed to teach them. Hoop and holler and all kind of other things that you should do.
Those are some good points, Yankee. I like that. However, and there is no however. Good points. Those are good points. And maybe that's what the lesson would be to coming out of this whole situation. However.
Now, as far as the gun is concerned, I don't know. You know, this child had to see these type of actions going on with that gun at home. You're absolutely right. Parents are supposed to make sure that that weapon is out of the reach of children. Matter of fact, there was a lesson plan that's made for kids that's put out by the National Rifle Association that is called Eddie Eagle. And it basically teaches a child, and through many exercises, coloring books, and rhythm and rhyme, that when you see a gun, you're supposed to stop, get away, and go get an adult. And, you know, my grandson would go around to a couple elementary schools and work with some class, pass out material that come with the lesson plan, and go over that with the kids so they will learn something.
Yankee, this was a total different situation, though. You know, and the stories that came out earlier compared to now are just not matching up with what first was told about what happened. Administrator, they won't say it, but said they checked the child's backpack. No weapon was found. But once he shot the teacher, they say he pulled the weapon out of his backpack. What kind of search was done on this child? They said he was searched. What kind of child? What kind of search was done then? You're talking about a sixth grader's backpack. You're not talking about a high schooler or a college student. A sixth grader. What is he going to
have? Well, what about the you got this stuff going on? Irresponsibility. Look at a kid down in Texas.
Okay, wait a minute. We're staying right here right now. We're staying right here. So, even with that, where did this kid get this weapon from, and how did he have time to go and get the weapon wherever he hid it at, put it back in his backpack, and make it all the way to the classroom, and nobody knows?
Well, I couldn't tell you, Eric.
Exactly. Exactly.
Somebody ain't doing what they're supposed to do.
Right. And somebody's trying to cover their behind. That's the point I'm trying to make here, because the stories just aren't adding up anymore. But I got somebody else who wants to come in. But thank you, Pianki. Happy New Year to you.
Yeah.
Pianki.
Happy New Year to you again, and I'll talk to you later. Be careful.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
All right. Let's see. 111, 111. All right. Wait a minute. Hold on. Let's see. I don't know why my computer acting trippy today. All right, 111, welcome to the show. Who do I have here and what do you got for me?
I ain't 111. You know me.
Oh, I do? Who are you?
Man, actually, I decided, since I heard my brother Bianca come on, I said, man, make this a 1-2 punch. I think I'll follow him up with the overhand right after he put the jab on.
Yeah. What's going on, Sarge? How you been?
How's all good, man? I haven't spoken to you since last year before.
I know, right? So it's been a minute.
How's your family doing? Everybody doing well? Did you have a happy holiday and a happy Martin Luther King Day, for that matter?
All of the above. Okay. Yeah, well, you know how I feel about Martin Luther King Jr. Day, especially since they done came out with that statue. We done been over that already.
We sure have. But, man, look here. Now, I know we're talking about Joe Biden today, and Joe Biden and kind of his little Constance Thompson. Everybody talking about them documents and whatnot. But I got something about Joe Biden that's even a little bit more disturbing for me. It's even more disturbing than his very serious apparent misuse of mishandling classified documents. And that is this tendency he has at certain public venues, by my count, at least 4 times since he's been president and a couple times on the campaign trail, where he talks about this theme. He says, I need to tell my conservative friends something. If you're going to go up against the American government, you don't need an AR-15. You need an AR-15. You need an F-15 because we got nukes. Now, he said, the last time he did this before the National Action Network, he didn't mention nukes. But once again, he mentioned AR-15s and F-15s. And I'm kind of thinking to myself, you know, Abraham Lincoln didn't talk about the Confederacy like that when he was fighting the Civil War. And here we got a president who regularly invokes the specter of the federal government either nuking or sending fighter bombers to bomb American citizens. Now, I mean, don't you think that's a little bit curious?
At this point, Sarge, I don't find anything they do curious.
No, I'm talking specifically about Biden, now, not anybody else.
Yeah.
The man was the president of the United States. The man was the commander-in-chief of the armed forces of the United States.
Okay. And the man was the vice president at one time.
Yeah, that's not worth, like what's his name said, it's not worth a bucket of warm spit, but still, it's significant if the president dies.
Honestly, Sarge, what I'm trying to get at is, in the big picture, they all do it. For some reason, these two are...
Well, I've never heard a president make remarks like that, never. Never.
Never.
I have never heard a president make remarks like that repeatedly. Never. I follow the presidency and presidential history and presidential speeches. And again, I'd like to remind you of Abraham Lincoln, who had to fight a civil war, and he never referred in that manner to Confederates, the population of the Confederacy.
Man, we ain't going to talk about Abraham Lincoln because he was a fraud, too.
Well, I'm just saying he was actually fighting a war against fellow Americans. He never talked like that. Talking the need to put down the rebellion.
I'm going to have to go and find
He talked about the need to put down the rebellion, but he never spoke in those terms.
I'm going to go and find that clip and see what you're talking about because I haven't seen that clip.
Well, you can find four of them. I'll tell you where they were.
All right.
Four of them, he said. He didn't say it just once. Since he's been president, he has done this at least three times, I think four.
Okay.
This time he didn't mention nukes. He didn't mention nuclear weapons.
Shoot me the articles in the chat room, all right?
Now think about it for a minute Eric. Now, think about this. Now, honestly.
Okay.
We had nuclear weapons in 1945. First time the United States had nuclear weapons. We had a war against the Red Communist Chinese in 1950. When the Chinese intervened, well, first of all, when the North Koreans intervened, they almost defeated the U.N. forces in the United States Army, pushed them all back to Busan perimeter. And they met, you know, MacArthur made that thing at Incheon, and they pushed out from Busan perimeter and ran North Koreans all the way to the Yalu River. Now, even when the North Koreans were on the verge of defeating the United States Army, they wouldn't talk about dropping nukes on North Koreans. And then when the Chinese intervened and inflicted another military defeat on the United Nations and the United States Army, the president, they weren't going to put nuclear weapons on the Chinese. But here's this guy referring to nuclear weapons in the American populace. And you'll find that a little bit concerning specifically.
You know what I find concerning? That this same argument was used when Trump was in office. That's what I find concerning.
When did Trump ever threaten the use of nuclear weapons against the American populace or imply that he might? It might be done.
Oh, he implied it quite a few times.
No, I want you to give me a specific time he did it.
I know what I'm talking about, Sarge. I will get you the information. However,
yeah, give me the information where Trump implied a use of nuclear weapons against American citizens. Repeatedly, now, not just once offhandedly, but repeatedly.
Sarge. That has, okay. Nuclear weapons. We have them. They have them. Everybody lies about what they have, how many they have. You know, honestly, if they're going to do it, they're going to do it. But I don't think none of them have the balls enough to do it either way. Now, they'll drop a bomb on you. Yeah. They'll drop a get one of them drones and drop some crap on you. Yeah. But this is not nothing new.
The only United States government official that I know of whoever bombed the United States probably, remember now, government official, not a civilian, but the government that you ever use aircraft to bomb an American population was a Democrat man named Wilson Good in Philadelphia when the move thing went down. I don't know if anybody else has ever done it.
You better go back and check history.
Now, I've checked it repeatedly. They talk about Tulsa. Those are civilians and civilian aircraft. They weren't government aircraft.
That's different, though. That's different.
And they were improvised explosives. They took kerosene bottles and naphtha, and they dropped them down to incendiary, improvised incendiary bombs.
A bombing is a bombing, isn't it?
I understand it, but it wasn't done by a government official. What I'm trying to make is a government official saying this, which kind of bothers me more than civilians doing it.
Okay. Well, honestly, Sarge, I really don't have a because I haven't heard what he said or seen what he said. and honestly, like I said before, whatever. At this point,
I can play it for you so you can hear him say it.
I would rather see it for myself. I am so right now disenfranchised with this government. You know, screw them. Because that's basically what they say to us every time we put somebody in office. But anyway.
Well, I know this might be going a bridge too far for you to admit.
To
but
admit
actually,
what?
Joe Biden is precisely, he embodies the sort of attitude that were precisely envisioned by the framers of the Constitution when they wrote the Second Amendment. They wrote the Second Amendment for someone with the mentality of Joe Biden.
Yeah, well, I'm not getting into that. All right, but I got somebody else want to come in. So let's
okay,
go.
Well, good talk to you. I've been looking forward to talking to you many more times this year, sir.
Hey, don't forget to put them links in the chat room so I can check them out, all right?
I will indeed.
All right, thank you, sir. All right, let's see. 111, we got you. Who I got here?
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
Well, I'm all right. How are you, sir?
I'm cool. Yeah, this is Nas.
All right. Huh?
Yeah, this is Nas. But
yeah, I got you, Nas. What's up, brother?
Hey, no, man. It's just I wonder if they got like a Wheel of Fortune type little thing in the office, and they just spin it around and say, okay, what right-wing thing are we going to be outraged about this week? And they spin the wheel, and, you know, about 20 of the places are probably Joe Biden issues, and it lands, and then, you know, they're upset all week, and then they call shows, and they tell you, Joe Biden compared nuclear, like, I just wonder, man, how much outrage can they farm from you people? How are y'all so upset every day? Every day? So anyway. So going back to one of the other topics, the Brittany Griner topic, this is a prime example of it. So because Brittany Griner has become a polarizing figure, why? Just the anti-blackness that exists in America. So they put up this thing, oh, she won this award that Pat Tillman won. How is she deserving of this award? And they go into all this ridiculousness about Griner, and they'll farm this outrage for a couple of days all over social media, all the likes, shares, and retweets that they want. And then they'll move on to the next target. But I just wonder, man, this has to be exhausting for people on the right. Like, do y'all ever get tired? I'm not talking to you, Mr. Targum, specifically. So you know who I'm talking about. Do y'all ever get tired of being mad about what they want you to be mad at that morning?
No, because it keeps the attention right where they want it. That's why. That's my point. You know, once you get to the point that you realize that's what's going on and the games are being played, you're like, man, forget them. You know,
and this is a high level game because, like, I don't know if you saw the little spat between Steven Crowder and Ben, whatever the hell his name is, I can't think of right now. Shapiro.
Uh-huh.
So supposedly, Daily Wire offered him a contract, and this guy says they were trying to short him. The contract was upwards of $50 million, so it pays really well to get old people mad every day and to always constantly use their fear and anger as a form of grifting. So just think about that, man. Steven Crowder is turning down a $50 million deal.
$50 million deal, huh?
Woo-hoo!
Well.
So how good of a radio host is Steven Crowder? My God. So, yeah, I mean, that's the game that's being played, man. But so the Biden stuff, I guess, they were talking about the documents, which is a legitimate scandal, worth criticizing them for.
Yeah.
That I salute.
Yeah. You know, like I said, you know, I'm sure these two aren't the only one who's done it. You understand what I'm saying? And I think it's just more political games. Yeah. He did it. Okay. He took them, just like Trump took them. Okay. And what? you know, Biden was vice president at one time. Do you think he didn't have none from that? I mean, really? I mean, how gullible can we be? I'm sure if they were to go back and take all the presidents, vice presidents, former presidents, vice president stuff, they would find a whole lot of classified stuff in there that they supposedly are not supposed to have had.
Right. But and then we get to the point of, are we talking about an error? Oh, go ahead. I'm
bad. No, we ain't talking about no error. We talking about just taking them, period. You know, it's like, you know, it's like when I was in Iraq. You know, first thing they say, no war trophies. Now, you're going to tell a bunch of 18, 19-year-olds you can't bring nothing back from where you fought a war. Yeah, right. Like, that's really going to happen. You know? Let's be honest. If we come up, you've been the president, the vice president, you've seen things that you know of nobody. Yeah, if I can get it, I'm getting it. You know? Mm-hmm. Now, how would anybody find out unless somebody told? Now, if these documents, as I said earlier, if these documents are just that important, then when these staffs are checked, somebody else to monitor what they're taking. Isn't that a logical, easy solution?
Yep.
But yet,
the other part of it is, we got most of these people who pretty much they're led around by AIDS. They know, you know, they're told what to sign, they do whatever. But for the most part, we're not talking about anything nefarious where they got these long-term evil plans of using these classified documents for something, you know, against whoever. For the most part, it's just simply, hey, yeah, get them. Get as much as you can. And how involved they are in that process, I highly doubt they're sitting there selecting what's what.
Right.
And, you know, I would even give Trump that benefit of the doubt. I would even go there. I'm not willing to say this dude is out here trying to compile a dossier to sell to China. Like, I just don't believe that kind of stuff, man. Yeah, I don't know, man.
Do you ever remember United States not having somebody to blame as an enemy? Think about that.
Ooh.
We always have to have somebody to blame as our enemy to keep something going. We can never be at peace with anybody. You know what I'm saying?
All you got is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. So if the majority of your budget is going to the military, you're going to need somebody to fight eventually.
See? Yeah, that's just by putting all that money that's supposed to go into it that doesn't. Right. Anyway, look, if Russia
ask your boy Zelensky. Zelensky sees that money allocated, but Zelensky did not see that money in his direct deposit. Goes straight to the DOD, and then it's siphoned to the point where they get a little crumbs of it. But all Ukraine is really getting is a whole bunch of debt. So good luck to whoever the president is after Zelensky, because if y'all still have a country, boy, y'all going to have to sell off everything.
Everything. Yes. Yes.
But, yeah, I just wanted to talk junk to Piaki and Sarge, man. Shout out to you. Happy New Year and everybody else, man. But go ahead and keep the show rolling, man. I just wanted to get on their nerves for a few minutes.
Yeah, and that they can. Oh, Piaki put in chat room, the President Retro Act carries no criminal penalty, right? I don't know.
No, they just be making up statutes. Too. That's the other part. It's like you could be classified just by thinking about it, and you can't go after. They just be making up stuff, man.
Yeah, like I say, I have to see it before I comment on it. Yeah, I have learned that part, especially with those. They don't come half cocked. That's for sure. But all right,
man.
Thank you, man.
They be having their Facebook page and Breitbart open, and they be ready for war, man. But y'all have a good night, bud.
All right, you too, man. All right, man.
All right, now come on, Eric. Now come on. I know we got a little to respond to that. Now come on.
Go ahead. I'll give you a few minutes. Go ahead.
All right. Now look, there's a matter of fact, not my opinion, because I don't write these laws. I have anything to do with them. But you can go to the National Archives Records Administration, NARA. Go to the website, you look at the Presidential Recovery Act. It is completely a civil procedure. It involves negotiations between a former president and that NARA for the return of documents that NARA thinks it should possess. And the ultimate thing that they can do under the Presidential Records Act is for an appointed magistrate or federal judge to intervene and subpoena the documents under the NARA Act, not under the FBI being concerned about what, you know, somebody said that Trump has in his possession, which is a whole number. They got a search warrant for that.
Under the NARA, the judge
goes under the Presidential Records Act, says, Mr. Trump or whoever the president is, return the documents. I'm issuing a subpoena.
Let me ask you a question.
It's civil.
Let me ask you a question. Besides the political parties themselves, right, what in the heck does that have to do with the American citizen?
Well, you tell me, so I'll tell you what. First of all, I don't want any president, whether it's Trump, Biden, Obama, I don't care who it is, who carelessly and negligently mishandles classified information. What do you think would have happened if Roosevelt had let copies of Operation Overlord get to William Keitel and over in the German high command? What do you think might have would have happened on June 6, 1944? Somebody careless about Operation Overlord. Come on. You know why it's important? Now, I know the government overclassifies things, and they have too many things that are classified that shouldn't be. But let's face it. Some things should be classified. And I am convinced, without specific evidence to cite, I admit, but I am absolutely convinced that given the first tranche of documents that was said to be involved with Great Britain, involving Russia collusion, with the Ukraine involving Burisma and Hunter Biden, and with Iran involving a lousy, corrupt Iran deal, I am convinced it was done to hide that information from being discovered by someone else due to Biden's actions when he was vice president under the Obama administration, and perhaps Obama's involvement in it as
well.
All right.
Your sermon isn't going to change.
So I don't want anybody in on this classified information. This is our classified. I don't care what the president is.
Here's the thing, though, Sarge. In the big scheme of things, what is that going to do for the American citizen? Not a dang thing. That's a battle.
You don't think our national security is important?
National security?
Yeah. Classified documents oftentimes, not always, a lot of that is just to hide the mess these politicians are in. I'm talking about when national security documents actually deal with items of national security importance. Don't you think it's important to keep that secure?
Because we have no idea what it is anyway.
Well, that's the whole point.
Okay. And once again, we don't have the money to worry about that kind of crap. Okay? We don't.
So we shouldn't worry about them handling classified information properly. We just didn't worry about it. It's ollie action free.
Why not? We're not involved in any survival plans if something was to jump off.
Well, how do we know that? How do we know that? You mean the location of nuclear silos and, you know, with chemical weapons are stored or, you know?
Nah.
That's not important to secure.
No, sir. You know what?
Operational plans for troops in the field going on operations, that's not important to secure.
You got satellites for that.
No. The satellites don't get everything. They have to orbit. You know, you move when the satellite's not in orbit, a satellite doesn't pick it up.
Uh-huh.
Even geosynchronous orbits, satellites don't get everything.
Okay. All right, Sarge.
They got drones, you know, and the drones help too. But let's face it, there's not an army in the world that says, well, they got satellites and they got drones, so we'll just reveal all our plans to everybody. Because they can't stop it anyway. They're going to find out anyway.
That wouldn't be logical, Sarge. That wouldn't be logical there.
I know, it isn't. And that's why it's important to safeguard classified information no matter what. Always going to be important, and everybody will continue to do it. And everybody who does it is going to instill – there's not a government on earth that does not instill severe penalties for mishandling classified information or giving it to your adversaries and opponents.
I'm going to ask this question once again. If it's that serious, then why not – have somebody watch these people pack these things, these papers up when they're transitioning.
What's a fair question? That's a fair question. But again, if President Trump, for instance, declassified those documents in his plenary declassification authority, according to the Supreme Court, Department of the Navy versus Egan, if he declassified those documents in the Supreme Authority, declassification authority, before he left the White House, it doesn't matter what classification markings are on them. They are not classified documents. He was not in possession of classified documents.
Okay. You're done?
So then the only thing is whether or not the archive feels for historical records keeping, it needs to have those documents back in its possession.
The only thing is how long we going to keep falling for the same old garbage. Okay. Now, yeah, he may have classified them. I guess the question then becomes, okay, did he follow the proper steps? I don't know. You don't know.
Well, wait a minute. Remember, Supreme Court made a decision on this. Department of the Navy versus Egan. I don't believe me. Just read it yourself. They said his power to declassify is plenary. He doesn't have to wait for a bureaucrat to approve his decision to classify. If the bureaucrat, say, wanted to drag his feet because he didn't think the information that the president wanted to classify should be declassified at this time, and he decided to drag his feet to say, I don't know, months or a year, does that mean what was ordered declassified wasn't? No, it was still declassified the second he gave an order to declassify.
Sarge, thank you for that propaganda, but I'm not buying it, and I don't
know. Propaganda, take it up with them.
Because you're using the same arguments that the quote-unquote right is using.
Again, your argument's not with me. It's with the Supreme Court. They said it.
I really don't care, Sarge. I don't.
I mean, you're arguing with me about the Department of Navy versus Egan, 1988.
I'm trying to help you understand how irrelevant this thing is. Because it's something that's done. They do it. As I said before, you go to any of these presidents' former homes, museums, whatever, and find something that was quote-unquote classified, that somebody missed file. That's what I'm saying. But the issue is with me right now is these two competing dumb groups that's doing the same thing back and forth like tit for tat, and in the long run it's the same old thing. Neither one of them going to go to jail. Neither one of them going to be whatever. They're going to continue on, and we're going to be called the former president. We're going to be called the former president, former vice president, however they want to call him, and they're going to continue to make their money.
Okay. Now, I'm going to say this about Donald Trump because everybody talks about what Donald – look, whether or not Donald Trump declassified the material in his possession is an evidentiary matter. If Donald Trump can produce credible evidence that he, in fact, did that, then he is not in possession of classified documents. They should have ascertained that before they made the raid. They should have handled it completely differently. This was unprecedented for a reason, because as you pointed out, almost every president retains classified materials in their possession when they leave the White House. I don't believe there's one, ever since they started classified material, that hasn't done it to some degree or other. Not one. But never before has one had the FBI serve a search warrant on their private property. Never. If Barack Obama had to pay $800,000 to NARA to move documents that were classified from a warehouse in Highland Park, Illinois, that just had a padlock on the door and wasn't even secured by security guards. And because they had negotiations with NARA, NARA said, okay, you pay $800,000 to us, we'll go down there and move all those documents back to where they belong. The Biden administration agreed to it, and it was done. It was no civil penalty, no FBI raid, despite the fact that those documents weren't properly secured.
Okay. So.
And that's the way it should have been with Trump. It should be that way with Biden. Biden is different, though, because he's got them in a place where there isn't even a pretense of security. It's gone. You know,
Sarge, I don't care.
Well, I know, but other people do, and we're not going to drop it.
Any of them. I don't care about any of them. I don't.
All right, the other people do it, we're not going to drop it. We're going to try to see this through to where it's rightful ending.
See, that's the thing. What are you trying to see through? A tit-for-tat war
between... holding people accountable for gross neglect of critical security information to the United States. That's their main job. Their main job is not to give you a student loan. Their main job is to secure this country and protect it from its enemies. or its adversaries or its spies or anything. That's their main job. Not to get student loans.
Okay, Sarge. Well, yeah, you know, I know how you feel about it. So, okay. All right. That'll
so, like I said, we'll see, and I think I'm hoping that justice is done. I don't want anybody to set Biden up. I don't want him to just get him for the sake of getting him. I want him to see what his behavior is in accordance with the facts, the evidence, and the law, and let what be done, must what should be done.
He, what you talking about? He the president. He don't have. Let me stop. Let me.
Well, Nixon was president too, remember. Let's not forget that. Richard M. Nixon was won in the most popular landslide of all presidential elections ever, and he was forced to leave office.
Oh, come on, man. Come on now. Come on. Come on.
So, man, that's a fact. He had the, he won by the biggest margin of any presidential election in history, and they forced him to leave office.
Here, what has that done for me lately? What has these classified
done? I understand that Joe Biden is the president, right? He at least he holds the title of president, even though other people are actually presidenting. He's not the one doing the presidenting. He's just a marionette that they put papers in front of him telling him to sign.
If this came up 3-4 years ago, I still wouldn't have cared. Just like I don't care about them raiding Trump place. I don't care about him having – I don't care.
Well, I'm not asking you to care. I mean, it doesn't matter to me if you care or not. I'm simply pointing out the facts and the truth.
No, what you're pointing out is...
care about everything equally.
Okay, I can't yell over you anymore. Okay, look, Sarge, in the big scheme of things, them having their little classified documents, whatever, they all do it. Okay, what they use it for, is that's up to them. It is, it's up to them. We have no market in that poker game they're playing up there in Capitol in Washington right now. We have no coins in that. None. And what, you know, that's why I haven't been talking about it, because that's the way I feel about it, really. You know, now you got the Republicans controlling the House. They want to go after Hunter, they still want to go after Hunter. They want to go after, see if they can't get something on Biden, because the Democrats supposedly got something on Trump. And it don't look like the American citizens anywhere in there, does it? No, because the American citizen is not being considered in this. This is a fight between two bands of idiots to see who can win control of 2024. But then we're going to replay the whole thing all over again. If they're going to charge them, charge them. If they're going to let them return them, let them return them. Let's move on. Let's move on. Because the only thing you hear now is right-wing talking points, left-wing talking points. Nobody's trying to understand anything. And everybody's, yeah, screw that. Who cares? Who really cares? All right, y'all, we in overtime, so let me get up out of here. Thank you for hanging out with me today. Sarge, as always, I'll see you next Thursday. I'm going to check on them things, too. You can believe that. P. Yankee, Nas, I saw Rolling Roll Tide Dogs. Thank you for joining us with everybody else listening that I didn't get to see. Thank y'all for hanging out with me today. I appreciate it. Just remember, keep smiling, show appreciation, forgive with open heart. But make sure you forgive yourself first. And the biggest, best thing, learn to laugh at yourself. You can laugh at yourself. Everything else is just groovy. All right? So until then, man, y'all have a great weekend. And we'll see you back here next Thursday at 3 p.m. Central Time. My email is ericletstalk@gmail.com. You want to send me a message or no idea for a show or anything like that? More than happy. More than happy. I'm on all social media, and those who can contact me outside of Blog Talk, you're more than welcome to do that as well. All right, so we're going to get out of here. Thank you once again, and just remember, man, no matter what these folks try to tell you, I don't care what side you're on or whatever, just remember, just keep your head up, all right? It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right.
Yeah. I've been trying to survive. The goal is the sun gets right around sunset. Helps me realize this is just a journey. Stop your worries. You are gonna turn out fine. Oh, you turn out fine. Fine. Oh, you turn out fine. But you gotta keep your head up. Oh, and you can let your head down. Your head up, oh, and you can let your head down, hey, I know it's hard, no, it's hard to remember sometimes, but you gotta keep your head up, oh, and you can let your head down, hey, I got my hands in my pockets, kicking these rocks, it's kinda hard to watch this life go by, I'm buying into skeptics, skeptics mess with the confidence in my eyes, I'm seeing all the angles, thoughts get I start to compromise my life and my purpose. Is it all worth it? Am I gonna turn out fine? Oh, you turn out fine. Fine. Oh, you turn out fine. But you gotta keep your head up. Oh, and you can let your head down. Hey, you gotta keep your...
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.